Okay. Sounds right.
God bless.
Hey, just so there isn't any confusion, and Roger, you probably said it, I just may not have been listening, but it's the undesignated monies that will be going towards Future Hope. So if you have an offering of tithes or whatever, then that will be going to wherever you designate that. But if it's not designated, it'll go to Future Hope. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, and if you'll turn the lights up a little bit, I'd appreciate that in the sanctuary. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22, you are familiar with this portion of Scripture. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to have us read together and as quickly as you get there. And if you don't have your Bibles, I believe it'll hopefully be on the PowerPoint this morning. It's Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And let's together read it, okay? Here it's 1, 2, 3, here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, for those of you who have put the fruit of the Spirit to memory, let's test our memory. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I think we got those a little bit mixed up. It was, and I was the one who was leading you, so I'm to fault. It's actually love, joy, and peace, patience. And then there's kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and then self-control. That's at least the order that Paul wrote them in. These are 9 vital signs. If you want to find out if you are following the Holy Spirit, if you are actually in step with Him, and this chapter is all about the Holy Spirit, following Him. Make sure you're in step with Him. If you are, in fact, being led by the Holy Spirit and you are following Him, then you will see this fruit, expressed in 9 different ways, growing in your life. I was amazed to read through 1 John this past week, and John's book is kind of connected to talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when you finish reading 1 John and those chapters there, you come out saying, man, if I don't have these happening in my life, I need to check out. I need to investigate to see if I'm just knowing about God or if I'm really knowing God. Because if you are really knowing God, if you are in love with Him and He's in you and the Holy Spirit is leading you, these 9 expressions of His fruit will be happening in your life. Actually, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what true spirituality is all about. True spirituality is not a past experience that we have had in God. I have had a lot of past experiences. If I were to have you raise your hands, you would probably say you've had a lot of past experiences. Maybe some of you have had a time when the Holy Spirit has just come upon you and you've just been filled with a sense of joy and you couldn't explain it. Or maybe you've had a tremendous lightening of a load. You just felt like, man, the Holy Spirit is here and I don't feel burdened anymore. There was a peace that just came over you. Last week when Pastor Jeff talked to us about his experience in the Holy Spirit, he said that just recently he had a touch of the Holy Spirit and he just felt this warmth come over him. I've prayed for people at times and there's been what I've felt is a heat that has kind of happened as I've touched people, and not everyone, but many have felt that there was a warmth that was entering them. Some of you have maybe had an experience with the Holy Spirit and you've received a language that you weren't even educated in, but you've since learned that the Bible talks about various gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there's a language that's available for you that you can talk directly to God. And a girl came up last week and she says, man, recently I was filled with the Holy Spirit and this gift just started to come forth and I began to speak in this language, and she says, she began to explain it to me, and I think I'm going to have her share with us at the end of this month, because this month we're going to have 3 gatherings on Sunday night for a time of ministry. which one, the first one will be tonight at 6:30. Leaders will meet with me in the room, the great room, those leaders who are made themselves available last time for prayer. And we'll have a kind of a prep time, and we're going to believe that God will move. And we'll do that for the next three Sunday nights. But then on the last Sunday of this month, we're going to have a Sunday morning service where we have prayer, praise, and prophecy. We just wait before the Lord and see Him. And I'll probably have I will have several people share in that praise section what God has been doing in these last few weeks. But maybe some of you have had that experience where you've spoken a language. But do you know, that past experience, if it doesn't have present ramifications, if it's not changing your life and developing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it is not being led by the Spirit. You and I, and you'll have to hear me, and some of those people who come from a Pentecostal background or a charismatic background, you have to understand what I'm saying, and you may question what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you have had a past experience and you've spoken in tongues and been baptized in the Spirit, it's possible to have that happen in the past and not be full of the Spirit today, not be walking in the life of the Spirit today. Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what you want to follow. What's the picture? Is it a donkey that has the carrot out front? Is that what it is? And that motivates him to go? You need to follow people who have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You need to follow. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are wonderful, and we want that balance in both of them. But I'll tell you, if you have to choose between the two, choose to follow the fruit. The one who has love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness. I got them messed up, didn't I? Self-control. At least I got all nine of them down. But be filling that because that is what true spirituality is all about. Now, these nine fruit, this one fruit, nine expressions, it really shows us that we are like Christ. Now, I'm going to ask some of you to stand up. Anyone who has had at some time in your life someone say to you, you look like your mom, or you look like your dad, or maybe you look like a sibling and then you realize that you're connected to mom and dad and there's a similarity. Or maybe you can even see a similarity. When you look in the mirror, you can see your parent in you. If you are there and you have had someone say that to you, you look kind of like your parents or one of them or someone, would you stand up, please? Now, some of you may not even know your parents, so that's a part of our culture. So look around you, okay? So almost that would be definitely the majority. You may be seated, okay? Now, this is a harder question. How many of you look like Jesus? Now, that's going to be kind of a difficult thing to answer, but I'm going to ask all of you to raise your hand when I ask that question. How many of you look like Jesus? Would you, all of you, just raise your, please, just humor me just for a moment. Okay, let me take a second. All of you look like Jesus. Genesis 1 says, He created you in His image. We all look like Jesus, but something happened in Genesis 3. We had a terrible accident, and it was our fault. We chose to do our own thing. And we experienced a catastrophe, and we were disfigured beyond recognition. And all of a sudden, have you ever looked at a person who was strong and healthy, and then they all of a sudden get sick, and then you go to the hospital and you visit them after several weeks, and all of a sudden, they don't look the same? I had a sister, Connie Bushy, and she, my sis, she had bone cancer. She had to have her leg removed and in the final stages, and she was going through so much tremendous pain. We were praying for healing, and nothing seemed to be developing. And she said, could we pray that God would take me home? Death becomes a welcome sight when you're in so much pain and agony. We began to pray that God would give the ultimate healing, the ultimate healing. So He didn't fail us. He gave her that ultimate healing eventually, but I could watch her. She was a vibrant woman. She would walk fast and just always light on her feet, and all of a sudden as she began to get this sickness, she began to move so slowly. began to hardly be able to turn over in bed. When she lost the leg, they took the leg. It was just a downhill thing. She looked totally different from who she really was. Let me tell you, when we sinned against God and did our own thing, we become disfigured. So God came up because he knew that would happen. He came up with a redemptive plan. He would send his son, and the son would come, and then the son would return to heaven and send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would start to do surgery on us. And as we respond to him, he would create us again in his image. This fruit of the Spirit would start to show forth so that the true Tim Howard would stand up. So that you would once again see that we are in fact created in the image of God. There are all mankind was created in his image, but sin disfigured us, and now the Holy Spirit repairs, restores, returns us to a place where we can reveal who God really is. The fruit of the Spirit isn't something you and I can produce. It's something that he produces in us. It's something that as I respond to him on a day-by-day basis and I begin to walk in his ways, I begin to see myself becoming something different. It's not based upon doing first, it's based upon being something. You see, when you are something, then you will do something that comes out of that. We tend in this culture to try to make people do things right first before they've actually been changed internally. Well, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what God does to change you and me internally so that we can now not try to produce anything, but as we live out, God is revealed more and more through us. Are you tracking with me? Now this morning, I want to talk with you about three fruit: the fruit of kindness, the fruit of goodness, and the fruit of gentleness. The reason I have chosen those three fruit isn't to shorten the series, but it is because these three fruit are interrelated. They're integral to each other. They seem to be connected in a unique way that the other fruit are not connected. Kindness is what we do. Kindness is what we do. Goodness is why we do what we do. It's that which motivates us, and hopefully you'll understand that and what I mean by that in a few moments. And gentleness is how we do what we do. So kindness is what we do. Goodness is why we do what we do. And gentleness is how we do what we do. And those three things seem to go together. You know, a spirit-led person always wants to do the right thing in the right way, in the right season, at the right time. Kindness, goodness, and gentleness. Father, I pause and I ask you to open our ears to hear what you, Holy Spirit, want to say to us today. It is not a difficult message to understand. It is simple truth. And yet it has the potential of changing the world. And I ask you, God, just to anoint our ears. If you do have a Bible, just reach out to that Bible and put your hand there. Just by a touch, Father. We know that this book that we have before us is written on paper. It was made by trees, and it was the people developed it through the cutting down of trees and put it together. In itself, it has no power, but because they're your words and they come from you, Lord, they can change us and make us more like you. And I pray today that you take these words and make them what you want them to be. If you agree with that prayer, would you say amen? Amen. Okay, let me make a few comments. Kindness. Kindness is an expression of goodness. Goodness and kindness are kind of like the same coin. There's one side that's kind, the other side is good. Kindness is something that can be seen, something that can be seen. The Lord has been kind to us recently. He's been visiting us over the last 30 days. July 11th, night of worship, just visited us. Some people have been touched physically. Some people have been changed emotionally and challenged mentally to move on and break free of some things. God's been kind to us recently. He's been a kind God. Kindness is what God does. It's the way he reveals his mercy. It's the way he reveals his compassion. He's kind to us. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. I think that they'll have it on the PowerPoint. As for you, he's talking about you and me, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, you and me, we all lived among them at one time, gratifying our cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Then verse 4, I love the beginning, but. However, yet God, because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. What is this? Read those next few words. Expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. See, all that God feels towards us is revealed through this thing called kindness. Kindness is that gate that reveals to us. We can actually see kindness. It's something we do. Jeremiah 9:23 says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man to boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. Kindness. Can you remember times where people have been kind to you? So kind. Just last week, a person was very, very kind to us. They went away for 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and last Sunday, and unbeknownst to us, they just called and said, hey, come on over, we'd like to give you the key to our house. We have a swimming pool and we have a jacuzzi, and we'd love to have you just take advantage of that if you would like to. We'll be gone all day Thursday, all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday, won't be back until Monday, so our house is your house. That was a kind thing to do. I took advantage of it. It's a lot better than that 3-inch pool that I have for my grandson in the back. So, I remember back in 1973 when I first started the ministry. I was hired at Valley Christian Center in Fresno. That's what, 35 years ago now. They said that they'd pay me $400 a month, $100 a week. Even in that day, I tell you, gas was about 23 cents a gallon in 73, but $100 a month really didn't go very far. And I remember the first Christmas that year we came. We came in July, and that Christmas they had no money. We had no Christmas tree. And a couple by the name of Dick and Andy Christensen. Unfortunately, they're no longer married, and they've divorced since then. And I ran into them probably about five, six years ago. But Dick and Andy Christensen at that time, they bought us a tree. They brought it over, didn't know anything was going on, and they also bought the decorations for us. They stayed around and they helped Donna and me put the Christmas tree up, and we decorated and we had a Christmas in that little house that God had provided. Now that was a very kind act. That's a kind act that I remember 35 years ago. That one act of purchasing a Christmas tree and putting the lights on, I've never forgotten that. And it's not because I've written it down to remind myself. It's just kind acts are memorable acts. You talk about trees. In 1991, Donna and I went through one of the most difficult times of our lives. I would say it was probably the top time of darkness for us as a family. And there were reasons for that, but we went through a dark time. And one of our friends, as we were in the midst of that, they told me about Psalms chapter 1. It says, you'll be like a tree that's planted by the waters, and you'll bring forth fruit. And they bought what they call a zelasma tree. brought it over to my house. My youngest son lives in our home in Fresno at this point and rents from us. I'm just waiting for the day where he pays the full rent, but he's at least renting. And that zelasma tree is still growing. It's a fairly large tree now. It's a smaller cut of tree, but it covers the window. It's still in. Every time I go by the house, I remember 1991. Two friends purchased me a tree. They did an act of kindness. There was a story that my son taped last night, and he had me watch it. It was just a Sports Illustrated interview with a guy by the name of Roger Huerta. I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but Brad's my son. He really enjoys martial arts and the fighting that goes on in these programs. And I watch him too for a while, but they get a little bit brutal for me. But this young man, his story, it was about 15 minutes long, and I watched it, and both he and myself had tears come to our eyes because this young man is about in his mid-20s. He's a beautiful, a handsome man. I don't know what it says about me if I say he's beautiful, but he was a handsome young man. Could have been a model, but he describes his upbringing. 6 years old, how his mother began to beat him, and full hits as hard as she could, and he didn't understand what did I do that was so terribly wrong to deserve that? Why would I get to be abused? What did I do? And the story goes on, and at 9 years old, he was out in the streets in Mexico and trying to survive for himself. And then the authorities got involved and took him back to his dad, and his dad began to beat him again. And it was a terrible, terrible history. Horrible things happened. And this young man is now one of the top fighters in this league, and it all turned around because a coach in high school and a teacher took interest in him. The coach was the first father figure that he had ever had, and the teacher actually adopted him after about 4 years of trying to help him grow and get into college and do things. She called him up one day and said, "We've been thinking about this and would like to adopt you. You don't have to answer me right away, but if you'd think about it and get back to me, we'd appreciate it." And he thought about it for about 6 seconds and said yes. The coach and that woman showed kindness to that young man. That young man would not be the young man that he is today. And by the way, he's really growing, and you could see, he's not a Christian, but he definitely has a lot to offer. And you can see that the real him is beginning to blossom. Why? Because someone was kind to him. Now, kindness, when it's connected to goodness, is a powerful divine force that can do tremendous things. Now, let me explain what goodness is, because goodness in the biblical sense is different than goodness in the human usage of the word. It is a term that is actually the other side of kindness. Kindness is the outward expression, but goodness is the internal motivation. Now, you've heard the word good. We use it all the time. Good morning. Good grief. My mother used to say good gravy. I don't know what good gravy means, but it's good grief. I was talking to my grandson just the other day, and frequently when he does something positive, I'll say, "Good boy, good boy." Oh, my goodness. I even talk to my dogs, when they don't jump up on me. Good dogs, good dogs. You look at someone and say, "Good job, good job." Or we say, "Hey, good luck with that." I have, on a weekly basis, when I'm talking with people, I'll hear, if not on a weekly basis, on a somewhat regular basis, I'll hear people say, "Well, I'm not a bad person." What they mean is, I'm really a pretty good person. I'm not necessarily a bad person. But the word good, from a human standpoint, is different than the word good in a biblical verse. The word good, I think there's a scripture that will help us understand a little bit about this goodness, and it's from Mark 10:17. It's when a young man comes to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher." Listen to what Jesus says. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." You see, the biblical term of goodness is rooted not in what the human person does, even though the human person can do good things. Goodness is rooted in what God does. It's a divine thing. It's an attribute from Him. This goodness, no man is good. This young man, Jesus was wondering, are you seeing something in me that others haven't seen? Are you seeing that Jesus taught that I'm really God? See, that's what he was hoping for this young man, is when you call me good, do you understand what you're saying? You say, if you're good, then you are really God. So when we do things out of goodness, we're not doing things out of our human efforts, but we're doing something that's rooted in the Spirit of the living God. Brad Pitt and Angela Jolie, they are philanthropists. There's a definition of philanthropists, and one of the definitions is do-gooders. The word good there again. They are going about the world doing good, and they're really helping a lot of people. But their goodness is not rooted in the divine. Their goodness is rooted in the human. That's why we call it humanitarian efforts. You talk about providing for the pantry. See, one of the good things about the pantry is that it's not just giving away food. It's not just a good thing, it's a God thing. People are exposed to not just food, but there's someone who cares for you. There's someone who loves you. There's someone who wants to help you. Let us pray for you. It's in the midst of that this good thing, this kind act is revealed. And when it's rooted in what God wants, then all of a sudden people can fall in love with God. There's an open door to Him. You see, if I do something good for you and it's on the human basis, you can love me more. But if I do something and it's not me, but it's God through me, you can begin to love Him more. Oh, it's so important that you and I understand that there's a difference between good things and the goodness of God. There's something divine that takes place. Some of you may have watched, and maybe some of you are trying to forget, the movie called Bruce Almighty. And Bruce Almighty was a movie where, you know, Jim Carrey has this encounter with God, played by, is it Morgan Freeman? And if you remember that, if you've watched the movie, there's kind of a few humorous scenes where Jim Carrey will be talking with Morgan Freeman, who's representing God, and he'll say, "That's good, good." So he kind of puts that little "good," and Morgan Freeman, representing God, begins to laugh hysterically. You see, there is a difference between good and good. Can you do that with me? Good. Are you that talented? Good. It's kind of like, see, there's a difference between good and good. When God is in it, it releases some powerful things. Listen to the scripture that talks about giving a cup of cold water. Notice this. It says, Mark 9:41. "I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name." You see, now that's the difference. See, giving a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty is a kind act. But it's not necessarily a good act in the biblical sense. Am I being too technical? Or you understand what I'm saying? It's when I give it, and I'm doing this not because I really want to, whether I want to or not, doesn't matter. It's in Jesus' name. He's the one who's motivating me. He's the one who's causing this act to happen. When I do that, it has powerful ramifications. Now, it's possible to do a kind act and not have it rooted in goodness or even being good. I did a kind act not too long ago. I was standing in line, checking out at a grocery store. The person in front of me got up to the cash register, checked all the items through, and realized that they didn't have enough money to pay for all of it. They're only about $2.30 shy of the full amount. So I said, "Don't worry about it. Let me cover that." And I gave them $2 and whatever it was. And she turned around and smiled and was very appreciative, and she went on her way. Now that, to you, sounds kind and good, doesn't it? And it was a kind thing, but it wasn't a good thing biblically. Because, see, the truth be known, I'd been standing in line for about 5 minutes, which seemed like an hour. And this person in front of me didn't have a check or a credit card, I guess. Or if they did, they didn't want to use it. So they started to search through their purse. You know, wanted to get the exact change. You know, that's not bad enough. I mean, I don't mind people doing that, but it's like, you know, instead of getting a person, I've got the change. Honey, you got 10 cents? No, I don't. It takes 10 minutes from the check around. Just give them a buck and take the change. I mean, if you ever felt that, it's kind of like they're just, my goodness, woman. So I'm sitting there and I'm seeing this. Now, it wouldn't be so bad if they started early, but they usually wait until it's all the way through. Then they haven't even opened their purse yet. It's like then they, after, it's 15:40. Okay, well, then they start to unzip. Come on, get prepared. You know it's coming down the pike. Get ready so that when it happens, you're done. So that was my attitude during that time. So the real reason, the motivation behind this kind act was, man, I've got things to do. Better take 220. See, it's possible. It's possible to do kind things and not have it be rooted in goodness. When you and I combine kindness and goodness, and then we add a thing called gentleness, I'm telling you, the kingdom of God can be released. Gentleness is a term that is used in Scripture that in the Old Testament, it's the way that we deal with people. In the Old Testament, there's a picture of a person stooping down to listen to someone. This is the word picture in the Hebrew of a gentle person who's really trying to be kind and value someone. You're not pushy, you're not arrogant, you're not demanding, you're not driving, but you're gentle. Your approach to people is one of respect. And I value you regardless of your position, regardless of how many possessions you have, regardless of how well known you are. I am gentle. My approach to you is always an approach of respect, a gentleness. We're living in a society today where people aren't all that kind and aren't all that good and aren't all that gentle all the time. If you ever go to some other country, you'll notice that, you know, lines don't really mean anything. When you go to China, did any of you watch the opening, session for the Olympics? When you go to China, there's so many people that you'll find that you'll push and you'll cut and you'll make your own way. If you don't defend for yourself, you'll get run over. Was the nice guy always comes in last, that type of thing. The word gentleness in the New Testament is also interpreted meekness or mildness. And sometimes we can mistake that meekness is weakness, someone said. Jesus said, "Blessed are the gentle," Matthew 5:5. They're going to inherit the earth. Listen to what he said about himself. "Take my yoke upon you," Matthew 11:29. "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Gentleness. It was a study that was done years ago, and I think it's even more true today. But this study involved, if I remember correctly, thousands of people, and they were asked, do you think that Americans are incivil? Do you think that incivility is a problem? The word incivility means rudeness, discourteous, impoliteness, bad-mannered, ungracious, harsh, the very opposite of gentleness. Do you think that it's a problem? Listen to what happened. 89% of Americans said that they felt that incivility was a major problem. And maybe you do as well. 73% of them blamed it on mean-spirited campaigns. 67% blamed it on rock music. 52%, it may even be higher now, blamed it on talk radio. But only 1% blamed it on their own behavior. When they were asked, do you see yourselves as being incivil? 1% accepted the fact that maybe they weren't living life the way that they should as far as this gentleness goes. Do you know what that says to me? It says to me that we're a nation of people who want to blame others for the problems. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to open our eyes to see where we are really at in this fruit thing. Because if we combine kindness and goodness and we add gentleness, you know what will happen? Romans 2:4 will happen. It says, the goodness of the Lord leads to what? Repentance. You know what repentance means? Change. A change of thinking. And it's interesting that the NAS in Romans 2 uses the word kindness, but the King James Version uses the word goodness. They're used interchangeably with each other. The kindness of the Lord leads to repentance. The goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. When you combine those two and you add gentleness, you have the power to change someone's mind. I was mowing my lawn years and years ago at our first home. I had some cut-off jeans on. My hair was a mess. Ratty shirt on. And the neighbor across the street looked at me because we had just moved in. And he knew that I was a pastor of a church. And I can't prove this. There's no way for me to prove it. But when I looked at him, I felt like the Lord said, you are redefining his definition of preacher. May have been in a bad way too, I don't know. But sometimes we have a concept of a people, you know. We look at Catholics and we have a image of what a Catholic is. We have an image of what a Protestant is. And then all of a sudden you meet someone and they're filled with the Spirit, whether it be Catholic or Protestant or Jewish or whatever they might be, they're filled with the Spirit and they have the fruit of the Spirit. They're kind, they're good, they're gentle, and your opinion of them changes. Wow. You and I have the power to change people if we'll just allow the fruit the Holy Spirit to be cultivated in us. All of the fruit, but especially kindness, goodness, gentleness. You know, acts of kindness. Years ago, there was, I think October was the month, they used to have a random act of kindness. How many of you heard that phrase? That was kind of big years ago. I'm not into random act of kindness. I believe for a Christian, they're inspired times where God wants to lead you to places. There's an inspiration that God says, no, do this, and you're led to things. But acts of kindness happen spontaneously, and they happen strategically. What if everyone in this room, got about 400 adults here today, so I would estimate. The next service will have a similar crowd, maybe a few more. What if 800 adults and we have about 300 kids? 350 kids. What if all of us really said, I'm going to cultivate the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I'm going to say, Father God, I praise you for today. This is a brand new day. I've never lived it before. I'm not going to approach it like any other day. I don't know what you have in store for me, but I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be free to lead me today. I ask you to open my eyes and show me people that I can be kind to. What would happen? What would happen if you and I just said, you know, every day this week, I'm going to be kind to someone. Every day this week, not just I'm going to do it, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit through me do something. What would take place? I frequent a business here in Hanford probably at least once, twice a week. Maybe not that much, but generally once a week. And in that business, there's a person that I have befriended. And every time I'm there, I make a conscious effort to go out of my way to make sure I speak to them. If you were to see this person, you probably would look right by them. They're what I call the invisible people. A lot of times, you know, when you look good and you dress good and you're sharp and stuff, and you take notice of certain good-looking people, and then when you meet them, you find out they have no substance. You know, there's a lot of people who would not really attract your eye to them, but if you look at them, you'll discover some pretty good stuff inside that's often missed by people because they won't look. And I feel like the Holy Spirit has called, actually, I feel like this says, befriend this person, show an interest in them, ask them how they're doing. Have you ever asked someone who's going through a difficult time, how are you doing? And you really not just how you doing. Good, thanks, bye. No, I'm really interested. No, seriously, are you doing okay? And she says, you know, life's been really tough, and I can't really tell you what's going on, but I thank you for asking. See, that's a kind act. A kind act. You don't solve all the problems, but you let them know that they're not alone. There's someone out there who cares for them. See, that's what kindness is. It's compassion. It's compassion. And when it's rooted in the goodness of the Lord. That not the humanitarian based goodness, but the goodness of the Lord. And it's combined with gentleness. I'm not trying to force feed you or pressure you or push you or dictate or dominate or drive or demand. I'm just presenting myself to you. We have the possibility of leading people to a change. And that's what life is all about. Leads people to repentance, a change of thinking. God, I pray that in these days that your Holy Spirit is watering the soil that we are living in, spiritually speaking. I pray that you would let this fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I pray that they would start to come up from beneath the soil, and that people would begin to look and say, wow, that was just dirt there last week. And look, something's coming up. Something's coming up. You may be here this morning with your eyes closed. You may be here this morning and if you are honest with yourself, you don't see the fruit of kindness and goodness and gentleness very much in your life. Maybe it's because you haven't been following the Holy Spirit, and you're going to make a decision today to get back to following His lead, listening to your conscience and letting the Word of God begin to direct your steps. Or it could be that you're here today and you've really never even made God the Lord of your life. You've not allowed Him to step in and do what He wants to do and take over the control of your life. And if you're here this morning, I just want you to look at me, because I want to pray with you. If you've never asked God to come into your life, if you've never asked Him to lead you and become your Savior, I just want you to just look at me. If I don't catch your eyes, just raise your hands. I'm looking around. If your eyes are open, I'm going to believe that you're looking at me. So if you're not looking at me, just close your eyes right now, because I'm going to be looking. Are you looking at me? Never received Jesus? Are you looking at me over here? Are you looking at me? Jesus is coming to you today then. There's going to be a change. That's great. Tremendous. Anybody else in this section to my left? Anybody else? Just look at me. That's great. Let me just catch your eyes. If I don't catch your eyes, just kind of wave at me. Anyone else? I'm looking at the center section now. Yes, you're right there. You're wanting God to come into your life. You've never done this before. You want Jesus there. He's coming today to do that. He's coming today to do that. Anyone else here in the center section? There's someone who says, you know, I want that fruit to begin to grow in me, but I need to have God because I can't produce this. I'm looking at my right. That would be your left, the section over here. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Would you stand with me this morning as the elders and wives and prayers teams come down? Would you, as they make their way, would you just pray this prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today recognizing that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're a Savior. And I invite you today, I ask you today, forgive me of my sins. Wipe the past away. Give me a new beginning. Free me from sin. Help me to follow you. Fill me with your Spirit and let your fruit begin to grow. Lord, as those who prayed that, I ask that it would happen in all of us who prayed it, for those who prayed it from their heart, especially those who just for the first time asking you to come into their lives. I ask, oh God, that you would hear them and you would establish in them your word of salvation as they have made this step of faith today. I give you praise for doing that. And everybody said, amen. If you looked at me or you raised your hand or if I didn't happen to see you and you're wanting to begin a walk with Jesus, would you please come down? Let us pray with you, give you some information. Doesn't mean you're going to be a part of the church. It just means that we can help you to grow on your way. God bless you today. Let's go out and let's this week let the Holy Spirit lead us to places to do kind things. And let's fill this city with the goodness of the Lord. God bless you today. Blessings to you. Cullen's down here too, so we're going to pray.
I just want to pray that my wife, while she's gone, because we're going to be separated for 4 months, she's going to Yokosuka, Japan. She's getting transferred there. And so I just want God to make sure she watches over, takes care of her for me.
Just because you probably love her, huh?
Of course I love her.
So they're in the military. She's in the military. Mm-hmm. You're not in the military.
No. I'm retired, basically. So I'm going to school full time. That's why I'm staying here for the semester. I got one more semester in Fresno State.
Okay. So good. So she's heading out for Japan. Mm-hmm. You guys have been here for
3 years.
3 years now. Mm-hmm. Been a part of the ushering team and probably other things too that I'm not even aware of. But you've been